Please be seated.
Good morning. Glad that you're able to be here with us this morning. I want to start by thanking all of the men and women who have served in our military. In fact, growing up in this congregation, there are men and women that have served that I didn't even realize that they've served for our country. Unfortunately, until their funeral, where there was a flag draped over their casket, and then I realized at that time they had served. And so as this weekend goes in our country and we recognize those that have served, thank you for your service. In about 1978, if you would have come to Stonegate, you would have seen David and Betty Gale, Laurel, Jaron, and Jathan, and Steve sitting in a pew. My mom made sure that we had our Bibles with us. R.D. P. Brown Jr., the preacher at the time, would come up to the pulpit. And he would start some sermons with, "Turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament." And literally my soul would groan because we were going to listen to another story about the Israelites. And I didn't want to listen to a story about these Jews who I knew at 8 years old. They were a bunch of disobedient, rowdy folks. Why do I want to listen to a story about the Jews? From that, for most of my life, I've always been very critical of the Israelites. And there were good reasons for that. But before we talk about some of those criticisms, I want to kind of set the stage. In Exodus chapter 1 and verse 8, it begins by saying that Joseph had died and that there was a new king that did not know Joseph. In fact, this king's plan was to treat these children of Israel very difficultly, very shrewdly. He inflicted them into slavery. And so they had to work, and they had taskmasters that were set above them as they had to build this empire of Egypt. And it wasn't very long after that that you see in Exodus chapter 2 that the children of Israel did what? They began to cry out to the Lord. In fact, it says that the children of Israel, they groaned. They had a cry of rescue to God because they were under so much torment. And it's in the next chapter, in Exodus chapter 3, that we see that God not only sees their affliction, he hears their cry. And so God sets up a plan. And using Moses comes back to Egypt. He delivers through the power of God the 10 plagues. And the Israelites are finally released from Egypt. And as they travel towards the Red Sea, they get entrapped there. Red Sea in front of them, the Egyptians behind them, and God delivers them across the Red Sea. Now, I believe that when God delivered them, they crossed the Red Sea. I believe that God delivered a miracle. I think he parted the Red Sea. I don't believe it was a north wind that kind of pushed the waters back. I think the children of Israel walked through the Red Sea on dry land, and the water was on either side of them. And they witnessed this. They witnessed the 10 plagues. They saw the destruction of the most powerful nation at that time, Egypt. And God annihilated them. So let's pick up here in Exodus chapter 19. The plagues are done. They've crossed the Red Sea. And this is what it says in Exodus chapter 19. While Moses went up to God, the Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you up on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandments, you shall be my treasured possession among all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that shall speak to the people of Israel. So Moses came and called the elders of the people, and he set them before them. And all these words that the Lord had commanded him, and all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported these words to the people of the Lord. So that's kind of a quick synopsis of where we are. God as their Savior and as their King and as their Lord has led the children of Israel out. They have defeated the Egyptians. They've crossed the Red Sea. And now they're about to go in and they can take the Promised Land. God tells them, "You were eyewitnesses. You saw what happened. You experienced my power. There was deliverance, and now I ask for you to simply obey and keep my commandments." And their response to that is that we're going to do all that you've told us to do. The problem is that the children of Israel had a few issues. And we're going to talk a little bit about their issues this morning. In fact, as you read through the Old Testament, you're going to see that they had a lot of issues. And we're only going to touch a few of them. But I can tell you one of the first things that you would say about the children of Israel is they were complainers. They liked to complain. Even before they crossed the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 14, they had left Egypt. They're in front of the Red Sea. The Egyptians are behind them. And listen to what it said here. They said to Moses, "Is it because that there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." Now, did they say that? They didn't say that. They made that up. They didn't want to stay in Egypt. They wanted to leave Egypt. But they found themselves in a situation where they didn't trust in God. They didn't see a way out. And guess what their response was? "We're going to complain." And have you ever caught yourself complaining and you just kind of start making stuff up? You go on to chapter 16 and they're going to complain about, "You took us out of Egypt and there's no food. Now we're going to die of hunger. We saw the plagues. We saw us cross through the Red Sea. And now we've gone through all that, but now we're going to die of food. We don't have any food. We're going to die of hunger. What are we going to do?" Go to chapter 17 of Exodus, and guess what? It's not food, it's water. We're going to die out here of thirst. "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" You could go through the entire Old Testament and just mark down every time they complained. And you would have a sheet filled with marks on it. Because they were a nation that never seemed to be happy. They did not trust in God. And so, even though that God was there, and after all that they had seen, after all that they had heard, after all that they had experienced, what did they do? What was their response? Complain, murmur, groan, not happy. "Now what, God?" It's a pretty good criticism of the children of Israel. But I'm going to tell you something else they did. They had a wonderful opportunity as they came out of Egypt and into the Promised Land to be leaders. They had God behind them. They were undefeated. No one could overtake them. But you know what they were? They were followers. God knew this. Look what God says in Deuteronomy chapter 12, 30 through 31. "Take care that you be not ensnared to follow them," talking about the people and the other nations, after they have been destroyed before you, and that you do not inquire about their gods, saying, how did this nation serve their gods? That I also may do the same. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abominable thing that the Lord hates, they have done for their gods. For they even burn their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Can you imagine? These other nations, these heathens, would take their own children and they would put them on the idols and they would burn them as a sacrifice to these false gods. And God's saying, listen, when you go into these nations and you destroy them, you make sure that first they're destroyed, but you don't follow other people. You follow me. Well, God told them, do not follow their lead. What do we see throughout the entire Old Testament? The children of Israel getting sucked in and following the lead of others. In Judges chapter 2, verses 11 through 12, we see that the people of Israel did what? What was evil in the sight of the Lord and served who? The Baals. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they went after other gods. So religiously, they followed other people. They didn't listen to God. Not only did they do that religiously, they did that politically. They looked around because, first of all, they didn't destroy all the nations like they were supposed to. And they saw other nations like, hey, that nation over there has a king. Oh, look, they got a king. Everybody has a king. We don't have a king. So in 1 Samuel chapter 8, he says this, but the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And this is what they said. No, but there shall be a king over us, that we also may be like who? All the other nations. And that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Now that's what they thought the king was going to do for them. They had God. They had never been defeated. And yet they looked to follow the other nations. After all that God had said and done for them, after they had seen what they had seen in Egypt, all that God had done, what God had said and done for them as to what to do and how to do it and why they needed to do it, guess what they did? They followed others. So this children of Israel, they're complainers, they're followers. And the last thing I want to tell you about the children of Israel, and like I said, we could talk about other things, is the children of Israel were forgetful hearers. Forgetful hearers. The psalmist writes in Psalms 106, he says this, they did not destroy the people, as the Lord commanded them, but they mixed with the nations and learned to do as they did. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols. They literally forgot what God told them to do. And as you go through the Old Testament and you look at these people, you see that this is what they did. They forgot in Judges. In Psalms, they forgot. In Psalms 106, they forgot. In Jeremiah, guess what? The prophets led the people to forget. Hosea says this, but I am the Lord your God from the land of Egypt. You know no God but me. And besides me, there is no Savior. It was I who knew you in the wilderness, in the land of drought. But when they had grazed, and when they had become full, they were filled, and their hearts were lifted up. Therefore they did what? They forgot God. The psalmist says this, they exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. So what they knew and what they did were completely different. And so here again, God has talked to them. He's told them what to do. They recognize what they've done. He said, listen, as to what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to do it and why they needed to do it, they were just simply forgetful hearers. So you look at this nation, these children of Israel, and you start to kind of track their relationship with God, beginning in Exodus chapter 1, and you track it through the entire Old Testament. And if you were to look at it, it looks something like this. It's tachycardia. Do you know what their relationship was like with God? It was this. It was up, it was down. It was good, it was evil. It was obeying God, it was not obeying God. That's who the children of Israel were. And that's the story of the Old Testament. And so you can see, as a young boy, as I was taught in Bible class and my parents would teach me what the children of Israelites did and how they acted and how they would obey God and disobey God and how they would be good and then they would be evil, I became very critical of them. But as my life moved on and the shadow that I cast is now in front of me, because life's sun is more behind me than in front of me, age has shown me a thing or two. And I began to look at the relationship of today's Christians and where we are as Christians. And what if I was to track my relationship with God over my lifetime? How would that story read? How would your story read? Would it read something like this? Not that different from the children of Israel? Have there been times in your life where you were really close to God and then far away? Are there times when you were really, really good and times when you weren't really that good? Were there times in life when you obeyed God and you didn't obey God? That's the point. When we look at the children of Israel, do we not see ourselves in the way that we sometimes behave? Looking at their failures is like looking at my own failure. Because I make mistakes. Because we all struggle. And what's amazing about that is, after all that God has told us in the Bible, and all the lessons that I've listened to in my life, and the Bible classes, and the devotionals, and all the things that I've been involved with in my life, as to what to do, as to how to do it, as to why I need to do it, guess what I am? I'm a complainer. At times I follow others. I'm also a forgetful hearer. Listen, when it comes to complaining, I got that down. I don't like something, bam, I'm going to let you know about it. And then, if I'm really good, I can mix sarcasm with my complaint. And man, that's powerful. My poor wife has heard me complain sarcastically for almost 30 years. God bless her. But I can complain. I can look at something that's really, really good, and guess what I can do? I can find something wrong with it. Well, it smells funny. I just don't like the way that looks. It'd be nice if our announcements were a little bit shorter. It would be nice if the preacher didn't preach so long. Do I really have to go to church? I can't believe that person's doing that. And you know what I do? I complain, complain, and complain. The next one's tough. I've always liked to see myself as a leader. But when I'm really honest with myself, and I look back at the opportunities when I could have led, I could have said the right thing, I could have done the right thing, guess what? I was just like the children of Israel. I was a follower. There are times where I wanted to fit in. There were times that I should have said something, and I didn't. There are times when I shouldn't have said something, and I did. Instead of following Christ, I followed what I wanted to do. Which leads me to my next point. being a forgetful hearer isn't the fact that I just completely forgot everything I was taught. Like, blank, data bank, nothing there. That's not what it is. It's the application of that knowledge that I refused at that time to follow. It's not as if I didn't know. I just chose not to. Do you really think that the children of Israel forgot what happened? Or do you think it was more that they didn't care? That they wanted to do what they wanted to do. They, like the other point, wanted to be like everyone else. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. So they just didn't do it. They were forgetful hearers. I sometimes am a forgetful hearer. Does the same thing apply to you? Can you look at your life and see that there are moments where you're up and down with God, where you've been good, you've been not so good. You've obeyed, you've not obeyed. Today, I am no longer as critical of the Israelites as I used to be. Because I see my own failures. Today, I'm no longer as critical of others as I used to be. And let me tell you what, when I was younger, I'd point out somebody's mistakes. Man, you big sinner. What a loser. Can you not get a hold of that? How did you get addicted to drugs? How did you get addicted to fornication? You cheated on your wife. That person over there can't keep their mouth shut. Now, I am in no way condoning sin. God never condoned sin. I just understand now that we all have shortcomings. And our life is a journey. And we all fall. That doesn't mean that I just continue to fall and just stay down on the ground and not get up. It means that I continue to struggle. When I'm down, I get up. When I'm disobedient, I become obedient. When I've not acted the way that I should, I move in a direction that brings me closer to God. All of that to say this. Thankfully, God was and is merciful, patient, and long-suffering. And do you know who taught me that lesson the most? Buddy Hamby. He would talk about people and their life's journey. And he understood, yes, we want people to be faithful. Yes, we want people to be obedient. But we all fall. So there is God's grace, mercy, and long-suffering that gives us opportunities to make our life right. If you're not a Christian and you've never started that journey, you're an individual without hope. But if you are a Christian and you recognize that tachycardia in your own life with God and you need help because we all need help, this congregation is here to help you. We help each other. We journey together through life so that we can grow closer to God. If there's anything that we can do to encourage you, we do it now as we stand and sing.
Oh, Father, I...